Yeah, I always tell people, you know, I'm young in heart, but the body is catching up on all the other things. So I do appreciate it. As I was driving this morning coming up here, and I don't know, it just hit me anew, because driving through all the trees and stuff, that I was going, oh, it's just so beautiful to see the green. You know, I still haven't gotten over it, because looking at matchsticks for several months, you know, kind of, you know, and I think, you know, that's the way our lives were before Christ. You know, we were like matchsticks. There was no life in it. You know, it was ugly. It was worthless, really. Worthless. You know, better just to cut down and, you know, give it to Sam and burn up. Or something like that, you know. But when the light leaves come out and it's that all that beauty, then, you know, that's when Christ comes in our lives and just, you know, the abundance of goodness and just the wonders of who He is. And just the purpose that we have, you know, just given beauty and collecting the rays of the sun and all that, you know, giving the oxygen to us, you know, it's just amazing, you know, really what God's creation really shows us. And here, you know, when in Thailand and California, you really didn't really have that as much, but here it's really noticeable, you know, the changes, and you really think about yourself, you know, how God has been changing me. And so I just want to give a little honor to God and that and His creation. So it's great to be here with you this morning. It's wonderful. A little bit cooler. I had to wear this for a while. Somebody who was getting after me, oh, it was Ross. Yeah, he's telling me, what am I doing with this on? And you know, I was happy early in the week, you know, when it was in the 90s and nice and warm. And come back, please. All right. So praise the Lord. I know I don't know if you've been keeping up with the Platinum Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth. Do you understand? Platinum? 70 years now she has been reigning in England. You know, it's the longest monarch in the history of England, right? And so she has done a wonderful job. She's a wonderful person. In fact, I'm pretty sure she's a follower of Christ. And, you know, she's able to just keep her composure through a lot of situations. I mean, from the 50s on, and there's been a lot of things going on in this world, right? And so, you know, I see all the just the celebrity and people watching, oh, here comes, you know, William Kate, you know, Prince William, you know, look at the kids, you know, and, you know, here comes the upstarts, Harry and Meghan, you know, and they're watching closely. Oh, when's the Queen going to come? You know, when she's, is she going to come to this ceremony or not? You know, and it's just, oh, it's just, people are just riveted, you know, their eyes are like this, like big circles going, oh, like that. And people have got all these different colors on. If you look at them too, they're all dressed up and whatever, you know, and all the soldiers out there with their big hats and their red uniforms, all this stuff is going on, you know, for this Jubilee, you know, and it's wonderful to celebrate. And, you know, we really get excited about these things, right? And, you know, there's somebody else, you know, for the church. You know, we think about Jubilee. Jubilee has another type of meaning as well. It means, for in the Old Testament, it means really the pardon of sin. You know, it's universal pardon. You know, things were wiped out and the slates were clean after 50 years and they were able to begin again. You know, even if they have gotten to slavery or something like that. So it was really a wonderful time. In fact, our Jubilee for Christians happened on the cross. Did you know that? That's our celebration. When Jesus died for us, you know, our sins were pardoned. You know, all of our sins, not just a little bit, not just one, but all our sins have been forgiven. And that's just something to rejoice in. And then Jesus is, he's going even more nice, going, well, there's more. You know, this is, you know, 70 years, and we go, wow! But we have someone coming that we need to be celebrating as well. You know, He's our coming King. You know, and it's not just for 70 years, but this is for eternity. And that's, oops, I got to start this up, don't I, Nolan? See if I got this moving here. So, he's, you know, Jesus is saying, you know, I'm coming. You know, this is our King. He's coming. And You know, we've been reading, you know, studying in chapter 12, and it's kind of like he's not kind of like, he's saying this. He's saying, watch me. Watch me and be amazed. Don't watch the world. Don't get all put on the mask and try to hide things about yourselves. So don't get all scared and all fearful over these big wigs trying to force you to do this or trying to keep you down from standing for me. You know, don't get all tied up in the possessions and things of this world and the worries that go with it. Look at me. Turn your eyes. We just sang that song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You know, look full in his wonderful face. For the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. He's saying, stop doing that. Look at me. Look at me. Watch for me. Today, it's watchfulness. Where he's saying, this is how you watch. This is how the church is to watch for me. And we're going to be looking at it. What does that look like? You know, there's a lot of questions that go along with that today. So let's pray before we continue on. Lord, Father, again, we come before you and your word. And Lord, it is a challenging word. It is a word that means so much more than we can probably comprehend even at this time. But I pray, Lord, that you will bring truths out, principles out that will teach us, that will guide us, that will help us remember who we are before a holy Creator God. And all you've done for us and what you are going to do. What you're going to do. Help us to learn what watchfulness is so we can be those faithful servants, faithful managers of all that you provide, all you give us. We ask that you will receive all the glory and praise in this time. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So watchfulness, as we look into the first couple of verses there, you know, there's people say, well, what is watchfulness? Well, you know, when I was looking, I was thinking waiting and watchfulness, they're kind of similar to one another, right? You're waiting and watching. You think of a guard maybe, you know, and they're just waiting there and they're watching and stuff like that. But there's more to it to me because I feel like watchfulness is really you're being engaged in your waiting. So you're not just standing there looking at a blank screen and going, when is the internet coming? You know, you're not waiting. Or you're not waiting in a line at you know, some restaurant waiting to, when are they going to call our names? I'm hungry. Growl, growl, growl. Oh, mother load. I can't wait for that. Right? It's not all that. Right? There's something more for watchfulness. Watchfulness is getting engaged in our waiting. We're actually doing things in the waiting. And so preparation, as he says, be dressed, ready for service. Well, you got to get dressed. Back then, they had long robes. If they really needed to get serious and start moving around, doing a lot of work, or even moving fast, they had to tuck those flowing robes into their little you know, belts so they can move better. Right? For us, it's like rolling up the sleeves. You know, how we get our sleeves rolled up, ready for that work today and stuff like that. You're getting there. You're getting all prepared. You're ready for it. And there's more, but we'll talk about that a little bit later about us as the church too. But this is part of preparation. Another very important part of preparation is knowledge. You got to know what you're preparing for. Why are we getting prepared for? Well, if you don't have knowledge, you're going to still be looking at that blank screen going, when's the internet coming? Oh. And Sam knows what I mean, right, Sam? You're looking at that internet all the time, right? When is that screen popping on? But there's more, right? There's more. You know, the way he's teaching us, you know, get knowledge. So get into the Word, you know, get into the fellowship. Go to church, you know, go to Sunday school. You're very present. You go, I don't want to go today. But you know what? Even your very presence coming into like a group or a church encourages others Did you know that? Just your very presence encourages others. And then when you add to it, you start, the Holy Spirit's moving, and you're talking about His Word, and you're praying together, it just adds to our lives. Things start going right into our hearts, soaking it in, and we grow in the knowledge, and we start learning, oh, Jesus is coming back. Because if we didn't read the Word, if we didn't discuss it, we wouldn't have no clues. Jesus is coming. We thought, He died. He's dead. Oh, He rose again, and now He's up in heaven's Father. Nope, there's more to it. You see, He's coming back. He came at first, that first coming of His, you know, as a little baby, and He came to finish complete the Father's plan of salvation by dying for us on the cross so we can come, you know, be reconciled to the Father through Christ, because we can't do it on our own. We can't do it through our works, can't do it through our monies, our good looks, or our social standing, or anything like that. We need Christ. So He did that for us. And then when He died, He fulfilled all that, those promises, and pardoned our sins. And then He went to be at the sitting at the right hand of the Father. But you know what? He's coming back as our King. This time. He's not coming back as a baby. He's coming back as His King. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. So first part, be prepared, right? There's a lot going on with that. Prayer, all that. That's why we come together these Sunday mornings. And there's other life groups or Sunday school. There's other, your personal studies. We should be in the Word. We should be in the Word. If you're a follower of Christ, being a part in the Word and in prayer should be a daily bread, your food for the day. Maintenance, maintaining things. What is this? You know, it's talking here. It says, keep your lamps burning. Keep your lamps burning. You know, I'm sitting there. Well, the way I explain this is like, you know, here we already know part of, you know, as we have knowledge, we know what His will is for us. You know, the basics, the general will is that we are to be His witnesses to the nations. So we are to turn on our lights, not hide them under the buckets, right? And we are to be witnesses, you know, maintaining what He has given us, the duty, really, of being a witness, of sharing the hope that we have in Christ, to pray for others, to talk to people, to encourage them using the Word of God. You know, that's that maintenance part, you know, to show people the way. And there's much more. I'm just kind of giving you a little tidbits here. And then expectation is part of that. Because if you go on, you know, not only are you being ready, you know, dressed for service, and you got your lamps burning there, but also like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. See, if you are not there, if you're not expecting him, he'll be knocking on the door, and he might be knocking a lot. Have you ever done that? Have you ever, you know, come up to a door, and you know they're in there, but you're just knocking, and just sit there, and keep knocking, and you get knocking harder and harder, and you go, and finally you almost knock it to where to open it and hit him in the head. You know, but, you know, being expectant, you're right there. You have a different attitude. See, he's always on our minds. You know, when's Jesus coming? Yeah. I got to be ready for Him. It's a constant readiness. It's that constant being in the Word, constant prayer, constantly thinking, talking, you know, with God throughout the day. It's that relationship that we have with Him. And that attitude that, you know, back, I don't know when it was, probably in the 80s with Bo Jackson and Nike saying, just do it. I think they were just doing it way back then. You know, God, Jesus saying, hey, get out there and be a light to the nations. And those disciples were going, we're doing it. We're following you. Just do it. They had that attitude. That's expecting things, you know, being prepared, doing what He has us to do. He gave us a duty, you know, he gave us a mission to continue on with that, and being always expectant anytime. Because it says here, you know, He can come at any time. We don't know exactly when. And there's also things to overcome, even though it's off there. Maybe I'll put my hand like that. Can you see it? Overcome. There's things, you know, so I go, well, okay, watchfulness, that's great, that's good. But boy, why is it so tough to be watchful? Because I know these things. I've known these for years and years and years. And I would tell you, I'm not very watchful. First of all, I don't talk about Christ coming all that much. Should be on my daily conversation list. Kind of like that jubilee, the excitement should be just flowing through me for Christ's coming, the King. It's coming. So I kind of go, well, what is it? Well, you know, what happens is I just, distractions, you know, life gets distracting, right? You start, remember that verse just a little bit before this is saying, where your treasure is, there your, what? Heart will be also. So, you know, our lives, you know, our hearts are here and here and maybe just right here. And then Jesus is, you know, the coming, you know, oops, you know, we're all over the place. I know I am sometimes. I'm sitting there going, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing? You know, what am I getting excited at? You know, the Dodgers winning, you know, or something like that. You know, you get all ooh, like that and stuff like that. But, you know, that's not what it's all about. You know, so the distractions in our lives, the worries, you know, I want to do this and stuff like that. And then, you know, you push these things that are even more important, you know, the kingdom of God is coming and all that's involved in that. We kind of put it aside because I got to get this done. Well, right now, this is more important. You know, it's kind of like that rich fool, you know, it's more important to start building those bigger barns so I get all my stuff in there and I can kick back and relax and enjoy life. No. But you know what happened? God said, you fool, your life is mine tonight. Now what's going to do with all that stuff? So we need to, you know, overcome. We need to kind of get our focus back on Christ. You know, we have to be careful of all those little distractions. Family can be distracting. Jobs can be distracting. Entertainment can be distracting. Phones, cell phones can be distracting. All tons of things, you know, monies, all that stuff. So we need to make sure that, you know, we have to live and we're going to have things coming at us, but we also need to make sure that we're allowing Christ into all of that. You know, I shouldn't be doing just this, you know, and, you know, getting involved in entertainment and all that stuff without bringing Christ into that. And what that looks like, you have to ask. Or your family, you know, what does that look like to get bring Christ into your family? You know, have you been doing that? So those are things to overcome. Overcome also, you know, standing, if you're just standing there and going like this and looking at the blank screen, well, you're going to get a little sleepy or a little bored. There's no excitement going on in your life. So you have to overcome that boredom, that sleepiness. And that's where you need your brothers and sisters. That's why I say you can't be an island. You can't do it on your own. You need your brothers and sisters to kick you in the rear end. Say, what are you doing? Come over here. Let's get praying. Let's get into the Word together. Or just talking on the phone and talking about the Lord, you know, or things like that. So critical. Those things will help us overcome our sluggishness in being watchful for the coming King. And so another thing that helps out is this, rewards. That helps me. When I know there's a reward on the other end, well, I can focus better. I become more watchful. I don't know about you. If somebody says, hey, you do real well, and at the end of the year, you get a $10,000 bonus, I'd be going, oh, yeah, I'm watchful. I'm ready. I'm excited. I got something now. I got something to shoot for, you know. Or you do your job well, and, you know, you got extra days of vacation or things like that, you know, things that rewards. Well, Jesus knows this stuff. You know, as we read this on, a little bit further on here, it says, you know, you got to... like servants waiting of their master to return from wedding banquet, and when they comes knocks, they immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself. Now who's the he? It's the master. It's not the servants. Do you understand that? Truly I tell you, this is Jesus saying, truly I tell you. He's saying, hey, listen now. Here's some truth coming at you. He will dress himself to serve. He, the master, Jesus, the coming king, will dress himself to serve. Do you remember John 13? What did he do? He washed the feet of the disciples. You know, he elevated servants, right? Service became something like, you know, usually people think, oh, you're a servant, and you're nothing, you're lowly, we can step on you anytime. No, he elevated it to where it's a privilege and honor to serve. In fact, you're the greatest if you serve others. He elevated it. So, you know, see this, what's happening here? He's serving us, those who are watchful unto him, doing our duty before him. He comes and serves us. There's a big banquet waiting for us. There's a feast waiting. That catches my attention, all right, to be watchful for him. You know, if you go into passages such as, I think, where did I have that? Luke, turn your page a little bit there in 14, 15. Listen to this there in Luke. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. There's a feast coming for all those who are watchful. It's a reward to being those who are being watchful unto him. And so that's one part that helps. Another, as we go on a little bit further on, if you skipped over and you went into the next section there in 42, and you're talking about who then is a faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of the servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time. It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. That's pretty good, huh? Being put, so you're doing so well, like a Joseph, you know, you're doing so well. Now he's going, hey, you know what? You're doing so, I'm giving you all of this. I just gave you part. You're doing so well. You're showing yourself being watchful and faithful and wise. You got it. What an honor. You know, with Christ, those who follow him, who are watchful, we're going to be reigning with him forever. It's a powerful thing to even think about, reigning with Christ forever in his kingdom, what that looks like. It's amazing to me even to think about that. Just those rewards for those who are faithful and watching and being ready and being prepared, maintaining what he has for us. And yes, there are failures, and he gives us warnings because he's teaching, right? He's a great teacher, so he's teaching us. And so you go back there a little bit there in 12, and you go back up a little bit there to a but. You know, when you see a but, excuse me, I know Don's thinking about something else. When you see a but, and when it's written here, you know, this is it. This is it. This is telling you better pay attention to what's going on here. There's a change here. There's a contrast coming. So it says this, but understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. There's a change there. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Now it's talking about the owner of the house. It's not talking about a servant or a master, and it's talking about owner, and he doesn't want this thief coming. He doesn't want this thief coming. But you know what? It's kind of interesting because if you look in a scripture, if you want to turn, I'll turn to this, Revelation 3:3, listen to these words here. Let me turn to this for you. These thinner pages are hard to turn to sometimes. 3:3 says this, "Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up," you've been falling asleep. "If you do not wake up, I will come like a," what? "Thief. And you will not know at what time I will come to you." And Jesus comes like a thief. If you're not woken up, you're going to miss out. In fact, this owner of the house, he's kind of going, "Get out of here." Because the thief, he's thinking about there's loss. He's thinking about he's going to lose something. This thief, in other words, is Christ. And he's saying, "I don't want to lose my position. I don't want to lose my valuables or anything. When he comes, I know all this is going to happen." Why do you think the Pharisees and Sadducees, all experts of the law, they were so indignant about Christ? They hated him because they didn't want to lose all they had built up. Their little kingdoms that they built. They weren't focusing upon this coming king. They were the coming king. They were trying to be the king. So they didn't want this thief. And then you can go on over there to a little bit further on there in 12 there. Let me see if I can pick this up. There's another but there in verse 39. Listen to this. "But understand this." Oops, I'm sorry, I got in the wrong. Is that the wrong one? No. I'm in the wrong one. Verse 45. "But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk." See, now you're starting to get a picture of, you know, this one, the owner of the house, or this unfaithful master, right? I don't care. He's coming. Who cares? I'm going to do my own thing. That's that attitude. It's failure. He's not watching. And there's much more to this, too. They're talking about, you know, the punishment for this guy, or the reward, you would say, is, you know, they're going to be cut into pieces and put into assigned to a place of the unbelievers. And really what it's talking about, if you look at it in like Isaiah 65, and probably if you research this a little bit more on your own, this is homework for you. It's talking about the nation of Israel and their rejection of God and what he, you know, they were to be the light to the nations. No, they did not follow through with that. And so he is pronouncing judgment there. Don't forget, there's Pharisees and other people in this big crowd that's listening to him. He's not there just speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to everyone. So there's things to watch out. There's warnings, right? There's encouragement. There's exhortation, you know, come on, be watchful. Hey, look at me, watch. But he's also saying, be careful not to be like these who are not watchful. They're watching themselves or their own world or other things, not me. They don't have me in mind. So the church, how does the church look watchful? Us, right now, here now. Well, you know, here it says right there at the end, there's going to be given, "Everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. From the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." We've been given a lot, okay? We've been given the Word of God. You know, the Israelites were given the Word of God, and they didn't act on it. But we have it. And are we going to act on it as a church? We've been given much. There's, what is that in Spider-Man? It says, with much power, there's much responsibility. Or great power, there's great responsibility, right? So the same thing with us. We have great power in this Word. There's great responsibility. We got to be doing something with it. We shouldn't be just sitting there going, huh? No, we should be maintaining. And what does the word say? You know, we should be preparing ourselves, maintaining and expecting Christ to come and doing these things that he has for us, right? All this stuff, given much, we're going to be held accountable. And talking about we as a church, we're held accountable. We have been given much. What are we going to do with it? So how are you preparing? Are you in the Word? Are you praying? Are you getting together in small groups? Are you talking about Christ? Are you growing in the knowledge and grace of who Christ is? Are you? That's a challenge. Keeping on, you know, keep it up, you know, be a light, you know, lighting that lamp. You know, do you have opportunities to talk to people about Christ? Do you have opportunities to pray? And you do every day to pray for people who are without Christ. Turn on the light. Be prayerful. Be watchful. Look for opportunities to speak Jesus into the lives of those around us. Speak his name. Give witness to who he is, right? The promise keeper, the way maker, the light in the darkness, you know, the miracle worker. And then lastly here, the excitement. Where's the excitement? You know, sometimes I feel like the church would just sit here and kind of go, because you know why? Because we just can't grasp this coming king. It's hard. It's hard to grasp that, isn't it? Am I talking truth here? It's difficult to grasp that. It's easy to grasp a champion, you know, playing in a NBA championships. It's easy to grasp that. Who's going to win that? Or the Jubilee for the Queen. Oh, it's so exciting. So how does it look for the church to get all excited? You know, he's coming. This king is coming, and he's bringing with him a whole new kingdom, something wonderful and new, beyond our imagination. He's coming. He's saying, watch, watch, and be amazed. I'm coming. You know, put on, you know, be prepared. Put on the clothes of Christ. Put on the clothes of Christ. Get into his uniform. Be like him. Be prepared. Get all excited. Talk about his coming. Talk about this king. You know, people are all wound up in their own little lives. Get them out of that. Break the egg that they're in and say, get up here and look what's around you. Look at the trees, the green, you know. Who's doing all that? You know, this one who made all this beauty, he's coming and he's going to make it even more beautiful. You just speak these words and remember them in our own lives. You know, when we all get twisted up in this world of all the stuff that's thrown at us and our own selfish fights, right? Within ourselves, our own conflicts we have between the Holy Spirit and the old self. Put on the clothes of Christ and walk with him. And I tell you, excitement will come. Especially when church, when we're talking about, we're going, yeah, and then what are we going to do? You know, saturate. You know, pray, get in the Word, you know, all that stuff. Get out there, be a witness. Seeing people coming to Christ, it's exciting. People, even, you know, just talking to them about Christ and seeing their eyes starting to light up, even though they might not even accept at that time. But they're just so powerful, so wonderful. And then you have this king. Remember, when he comes, this King of Kings, you know, it's on his robe and on his thigh. These words of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no other, just like that scripture that Steve read, you know, Isaiah 64. There's no one like him. Comes in to serve us? Comes in to all this power with, but he is so gracious and kind and loving to us. He gives us opportunities to be watchful unto him, the King of Kings, coming in all of his glory. And Revelation 22:12 sums it up so well. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. So be watchful and help one another be watchful. And let's bring his kingdom soon. Because when we are watchful and we're doing what he has us to do, the kingdom is coming. We don't know exactly when. You know, the servants, none of them, the unfaithful servants to the faithful servants, they don't know exactly. You know, that's one thing they had in common. They didn't know when. But the faithful ones knew they had to be watchful. Let's pray. Father God, again we come before you rejoicing in your word. And Lord, help us to be watchful. And Lord, create that excitement within us and without us, Lord. Lord, as we spend time with you and think about the things of you and pray and get into your word, as we spend time with brothers and sisters in Christ, may there be just such an excitement, motivating one another and going out and sharing this exciting news, this good news of what Jesus has done for us and what he is going to do. May we be these lights. And may you empower us. And when we get sluggish, when we start to get distracted, when we start getting sleepy, Father, wake us up. Wake us up, because you're coming like a thief and we need to be ready for you. Help us to be prepared in our hearts, in our minds, at all times. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. And all of his people say, amen. Amen.